Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I really enjoy that. Good chat with Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations for the T-Wolves. And, you know, Anthony Edwards, he's got the body and he's got the skill. I didn't love the article that came out, but I did say, you know, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old and you're doing this long form piece, sometimes maybe, you know, thoughts get twisted. It comes out the wrong way. His skill set is freakish.
Yeah. And Gerson. And Gerson played it out right, man. They had 8 months to do this, man.
Yeah.
6 to 8 months. It's not a couple of weeks to, you know, hey, come in, you know, come for a visit. Hang out with us for a little bit. It was a long time to evaluate these kids.
Yeah. So if you guys want to jump in on some of the draft stuff, by all means, get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Obviously, started with Klay Thompson. As that dynasty sadly will not get a chance to reclaim their throne, certainly not this year, in all probability. Never, based on the age and the mileage, and now 2 years in a row with Klay, whose game is based on movement, like Reggie Miller fighting off screens, Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton. All right, the game tonight, it's obviously a huge game. Let me throw this at you, T, get us started here. We know the magnitude in terms of the NFC West with the Cardinals, who seemingly are ascending, and Seattle, who seemingly is either flatlining or probably more specifically regressing at this point. Before we get into the team stuff, and there's some injuries for both teams, more so for Seattle, that we can certainly get into. But if I asked you right now, Kyler Murray's ceiling, whatever that might be in your mind, Kyler Murray's ceiling, is it absolutely higher than Russell Wilson?
No, I can't say that. Because Russell Wilson, while he's not the dynamic runner, he is in a very effective runner himself, and uses his legs to punish you if you're going to play, you know, deep zones or play man coverage and you don't get home. It's different than what Kyler Murray does, because he's a runner. He's a, you know, slash running back as well. And so you have an advantage, right? Because you got to defend an extra player. You know, usually when you have a quarterback who's not going to, you know, be a part of the run game, you don't have to defend against the quarterback. So when you know it's a run, or you're in a, you know, tendencies tell you it's a run, you scheme to stop the run. Now you got to scheme to stop the quarterback. It's why Lamar Jackson's been so successful. So I think it's two different, actually, their skill sets, even though they have the same deep ball ability and accuracy as a thrower. Yeah. They're too dissimilar to compare ceilings.
Dissimilar?
Yeah.
Dissimilar?
Yeah, because, really? I mean, think about, you're not going to ask Russell Wilson to do a zone read, read the defensive end, and if he crashes, keep the ball and make a guy miss on the perimeter or try to run through him. You're just not going to ask Russell Wilson to do that. Kyler Murray, that's what he does.
And but he also throws, but I'm
not even talking about the throwing side.
Okay.
Because the throwing side, I think they're equal in a sense. You know what I mean? Even though Russell throws one of the most pretty deep balls I've ever seen. Although that deep ball that Kyler threw last weekend was, you know, it wasn't a dime and a guy caught him in stride wide open. It was a jump ball that DeAndre Hopkins with his enormous hands.
Wait, you even told me that it wasn't a Hail Mary. You're the one who told us that it was more designed.
No.
So give the guy credit.
Yes.
It was a great throw.
Yes. So, but do you remember when we had Kyler on? Do you remember what he said? Because I asked him, that wasn't a Hail Mary. Because they had a post. They had a crosser, a curl. Like, they had, it wasn't a, like, you look at the play from the All-22.
Yeah.
when I was on the Giants and we'd go, all right, dude, it's this Hail Mary, it's whatever, 76 all go. I think that's what it was called, right? Everybody runs a go route and everybody gets to the end zone. One guy posts up in front. Mm-hmm. One guy is the jumper. That's where you hope the ball lands. And then one guy posts up behind, right? And so it's all right, either the jumper catches it or someone tries to knock it down, it gets tipped forward or backwards. That's a traditional Hail Mary throw. It's all goes. It's four guys going down the middle, going down the field. Mm-hmm. What the Arizona Cardinals ran, and I think what they were trying to do, and when you listen to Cliff Kingsbury, it sounds like this is what they were trying to do, was actually pick up like 15 to 20 yards and get out of bounds, right? Now, the post and the curl, they had no chance. And so what Kyler Murray said to us, you remember the play that Aaron Rodgers threw to the tight end against the Dallas Cowboys? It was a rope right down the side, right down the sideline. The tight end caught it. I forget who the tight end was. But he caught it and he got out of bounds and they end up winning the game on a field goal, right? Mm-hmm. That was the play that they called, that the Arizona Cardinals called. What happened was that when Kyler Murray got flushed out of the pocket, DeAndre Hopkins, because his football IQ is on a ridiculously high level, said, forget this. This play isn't working because he can't throw it to me in this angle. Like, if he's on the sideline, he can't throw me a sideline throw. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If he's in the middle of the field or a little bit on the hash, he can throw me a sideline throw. If he's on the sideline himself, he can't throw me a sideline throw. Mm-hmm. So DeAndre Hopkins flipped and ran to the end zone. And that's when Kyler Murray noticed it and then said, all right, I got to get my body squared, as he did, because he's a baseball player.
Got to.
And he threw this like perfectly arced right, 2 yards into the end zone. If it was a yard short, they're screwed. If it's a yard, 3 or 4 yards too deep, they're probably screwed as well because there was a defender back there. It was perfectly thrown, mm-hmm. and DeAndre Hopkins jumped those guys. And so I forgot how I got on that tangent, but they both have that ability. What differentiates Kyler Murray, and this is why he's so interesting to me, but maybe not to some, and especially when you talk about longevity, is that they actually ask him to say, put the ball into the belly of the running back. If the DN crashes, you turn into a running back. Go run. You know what I mean?
Go figure
it out. And he does that. Yes, he scored those 2 touchdowns. They were zone reads.
Yeah.
And so I love that until it doesn't work, all right, until he gets hurt. Until he is, what's his name? RG3 mm-hmm. happens to him. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't take hits. So, maybe it lasts for a long time. I don't know.
I hope it does because we'll be blessed to watch somebody special. RG3 didn't have the throwing talent.
Nor was he smart enough not to take hits.
True.
Russell Wilson, RG3 wanted to be like a power, like, dude, you weigh 195 pounds, man.
Remember that Adidas commercial?
Yeah.
How they rushed him back?
Yeah. It's like, stop, man. Football's a physical sport. Running backs are built like at 220. You know what I mean? You're 190.
Yeah. Well, the number from last week, I remember saying it on the show that, was it 72 that Kyler Murray's been contacted 72 times less than Lamar Jackson this year. So, there's an inherent skill to avoid contact.
That was a great stat, by the way.
Great. It paints a very interesting picture. Lamar's getting popped and Kyler's not.
Now, and Kyler has 120 or 30 more yards than Lamar, too, by the way.
What is he, eighth in the NFL in rushing at this point, right?
604 yards, yeah.
Now, if you watch the Cardinals, you know that he very rarely gets a direct shot, mm-hmm. if at all. So you kind of knew that, but when you actually hear when you if you watch the Ravens, you know that Lamar gets hit a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when you actually hear the number, and it was 72, I had it written down, just 72 times contacted, 72 times less than Lamar, that's a skill akin to throwing a good deep ball, having good anticipatory sets.
That's right.
The vision, the acumen, the things that you can sometimes quantify and sometimes not. You just know that Kyler Murray is more adept at avoiding hits. And not that even that he has more wiggle, which he might because mm-hmm. he's lower to ground, that it's a little different there, as you pointed out.
Yep.
But he just, I think that he sees 2 or 3 yards ahead of Lamar. Like, Lamar is so trusting of his athleticism.
Yeah, and he's playing backyard football, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it feels like.
Yep. And when you do that, you
get caught.
don't think you're ever going to get caught until you do.
Yeah.
Now
I don't mean caught like get caught from behind. I
no,
mean
you mean caught get popped and
yes,
get punished.
I mean caught like I spun and here's somebody on my chin.
Correct. Whereas I think Kyler is just, again, more adept at like, all right, so here's the defender in front of me, but like 3 feet off my peripheral vision, mm-hmm. I kind of see this guy coming, and if I spin that direction, he might blast me from behind. I think that he computes that, which is which is freakish
yeah.
to think that you can actually do that and avoid multiple fast and big NFL defenders and process not only what's in front of you, but what is within a certain radius. Kyler Murray's special,
yeah.
and Lamar Jackson's special. But I started this conversation by asking you, do you think that the talent between Kyler and Russell how would you rate the talent? I think Kyler Murray's more talented. Let me just tell you why. I think Kyler Murray, now I know it's a different NFL. So when Russell Wilson came in, what was the knock on Russell Wilson? Well, the defense was carrying him. You know, he didn't have to do a whole lot. Yeah. Good running attack, blah, blah, blah.
Turn around, hand it off. Just don't make mistakes.
It's the exact opposite with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, it's a good
point. They got to score 37, 40 points to win.
Yeah, Russell Wilson wasn't even close to being rookie of the year.
He wasn't close to it. And I just think that I think that Kyler Murray is going to sound weird. Is a little more natural, a little bit more of a natural. He's more of a natural playmaker.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I want to say he's more of a natural thrower yet, because obviously Russell played baseball too.
Yeah,
but I think that Kyler is a little more talented than Russell Wilson.
Well, here's the thing: we can never compare them, because Russell Wilson will never be asked to do those things. Now, however, in college, Russell Wilson was a lot like this as a runner. His senior year, because I looked this up before. Remember, I had this conversation. Someone was trying to compare De'Eriq King to Russell Wilson, and it sounded absurd.
Yeah.
But it actually was it was closer to reality than people wanted to give. Kurt Herbstreit said it, and people were like, "Oh, that's ridiculous. He's nowhere near Russell Wilson." But in college, they were, right? Russell Wilson had 6 rushing touchdowns at Wisconsin in his last year. And over his career, in 4 years, this is both at North Carolina State and at Wisconsin, he rushed for 1,400 yards and had 23 rushing touchdowns. You know what I mean? So this is not a kid who didn't like run, but he also threw for 3,000 yards every season and had, 33 touchdowns his last year at Wisconsin. So he's
in a non-wide open system.
That's right.
Did they have an NFL receiver on the team? I'm trying to remember.
So this was 2011 Wisconsin. So Monty Ball was the running back. We all remember
Monty
him.
Monty Ball for sure.
The receiver.
I know they didn't have a first-round receiver.
No.
Lee Evans was way before that.
No.
I don't
think
they had.
The leading receiver was Nick Toon.
Al Toon's son.
He was drafted in the 4th round.
Al Toon's son.
Yeah, drafted in the 4th round by the New Orleans Saints. But I don't remember his NFL career.
Gotcha.
At all. So basically, no. So the question is, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm. Even more impressive is my point.
So Russell he has the ability to do that, but he's so far past being a young athletic quarterback that you're never going to see that. You're going to see him run when he's like, he feels like an elder statesman, even though he's not old. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. Right? I feel that too now a little bit with him.
Right? And so we're not going to get a chance to see Russell Wilson be that guy in the NFL. And so that's why I say it's hard for me to compare, because Russell's not asked to do those things, whereas Kyler Murray, it absolutely is. And he probably will for the next 3 or 4 years. Now, maybe when he's, 28 years old or 29 years old, are they going to keep saying, hey, Kyler, keep running these zone reads and, take shots downfield? The answer is no.
Yeah.
And hopefully he continues to evolve as a passer. Not that he needs to do it too much more, because he is already a really good passer.
He is.
I think that Russ doesn't have the tool and the play calls that Kyler does. So it's hard for me to compare them. But if that's the case, then I think Kyler has better skills right now than Russell Wilson does, because he has the ability to do more.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And this would solve nothing, but it's an interesting way to look at it. If you took Kyler Murray and put him on Seattle and asked Kyler Murray to do what they asked Russell Wilson to do, there's a good chance he'd be able to do it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If you put Russell Wilson on Arizona and ask him to do exactly what Kyler Murray does, it's a different skill set, and the answer is probably 80% of what Kyler Murray can do in terms of the read option and the other stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
And now, it doesn't mean, listen, the durability is one thing, the steady leadership, and we had Kyler on the other day. He is an easy leader. He doesn't seem like there's not a lot of volatility to his game. He doesn't have these woeful, and this is a great characteristic for a young quarterback, doesn't have, you know, these high points followed by these low points, like, you know, even somebody like Josh Allen does on occasion, even though Josh has had a really good season.
Yep.
But there's a steadiness and there's a quiet confidence, much like Russell.
Yeah.
Listen, they're both.
Even though Russell's
both
getting
stars.
A little bit cocky right now.
Well, he is. That's why I'm rooting for Arizona today.
It's kind of, I mean, I like Russell a lot, but he's got to tone that down, man. We said this before, but I just don't like hearing that from, I mean, I like hearing it from a wide receiver, maybe a linebacker,
a boxer.
Yeah. Boxer. Someone whose job it is to talk, you know what, like,
yeah.
But from quarterbacks, I mean, Phillip Rivers does, but he didn't even do that in the media.
We never heard it.
No, he did it on the field, but he didn't do it in the media.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear Russell Wilson saying I'm great. I'm going to be awesome. I'm great. I'm good. Yes. Cause I can't even hear him saying that on the field.
Well, for those who missed you know what I mean? I want to play this because for those who missed it, we played it a few times as we, even once last week, it was after the game, obviously, where he had a couple of picks. And let's say the confidence was not shaken.
The reality is I know who I am. I know that I'm a great football player. You know, I know I've been great. I know I will be great. I know I'll continue to be great. I know that there are better days ahead. And so I have no doubt that, you know, greatness is in store. I have no doubt that we're going to get back on track. I have no doubt that we as a team, and we're going to find a way, and we're going to have better days ahead.
See, I don't like hearing that at all, and I was mocking him a little bit. It's out of character, but you know, the more I hear it, and I could be wrong, I feel like that is more rooted in his faith and the conviction that he has.
Of course,
that
I'm not faulting him for it.
There's a plan, and this is like the downward cycle is part of the plan.
Yeah.
And he's accepting of that, whereas maybe if you don't quite have that religious conviction, you would struggle with that. And but still, the way it comes out is not the way a quarterback is supposed to have it come out. I'm with you.
No, I think he tries too hard sometimes.
I agree with too.
Right? He's trying to be cool.
Yeah.
He's just not cool. He's kind of nerdy. You know what I mean? And so I think he's trying to be cool and say things the right way all the time. Like the Mr. Unlimited. Remember that thing? Like, come on,
Mr.
Russ.
Unlimited.
Don't you remember that video? Oh, my God. You got to go listen to this
Mr.
video.
Unlimited.
You got to go listen to this, BT. And Samter will post it on our social channel because it is the most awkward thing you'll ever
really?
Listen to.
Really? Even more awkward than he was laying in bed with his wife and he took us on Instagram?
That too, but still. But this was odd, man. This was odd.
Santer, send it over. I'll check it out during the break. Let's get a break. Speaking of breaks, Kenny Clark of the Packers defensive lineman joins us next here. Get a sense of the pack. And, listen, it was a little dicey this past week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they pulled out the win. We're the Packers a little past the halfway point. We'll get with him coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so I've been telling you for a few months now about DraftKings. No better place to get in on all the football action than with my friends at DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Here's how you do it. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means a little more with DraftKings. And it's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay beneath the salary cap, so you've got to juggle that, put the GM skills to work, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Also give yourself a chance to win millions of dollars in prizes. Now, if you haven't signed up yet, first of all, what are you waiting for? Just get in the game. It's simple. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Download the app. Can't move forward. Can't win money without downloading the app. Download the app. Use my name, Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, new users get a free shot at millions in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the week's action, all the fun. Enter code Tierney. Get a free shot at millions in prizes with your first deposit. And instead of talking smack, actually, you know, back it up. See how good you are. Go win some money. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, otherwise known as Sharp Tierney. And check it out, only at DraftKings, making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That is DraftKings.com. Mr. Unlimited. Oh, that was rough, Teak. We'll get to that in a second. That was rough. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Mr. Unlimited, that is just weird. You're right. Really no other way to describe it. It's not funny. It's not cool. It is corny.
It's very, very corny. Awkward, man.
It's awkward. Unlimited. I texted the guys. He sounds like a corny stoner. That's what he says. He sounds like a corny stoner. Let me hear that again, D-Cell. Unlimited. Oh, no. Oh, no. Ross, stay in the lane, brother. Stay in the lane. Mr.
Just be great. Just be great on Sundays.
Yeah, that usually is.
He is. I know.
Three of the last four, he hasn't been that great. Seattle hasn't been that great. Three of the past four, they've lost a few games here. So, listen, you know, as we wait for Kenny Clark and the Packers, hopefully in a couple of minutes here, do you believe that, first of all, who do you like in the game? I said yesterday, I think the Cardinals win the game.
Yeah, I do like the Cardinals. They're playing win at all costs type of football, and they're finding ways, even when they're off a little bit. I mean, there's been some games, BT, where I'm like, ugh, Kyler's going to have, because he's on my fantasy team too. Mm. I'm like, oh, he's going to have a rough day. I turn around, he's got two rushing touchdowns, yep. And he throws for 250 yards and, you know, finds a way to keep his team in the game or winning the game. And right now, they got to be feeling really good about themselves, sitting atop the division. And, you know, I think way ahead of where people thought they were going to be.
For sure. It's funny, you know, with Murray with fantasy, how quickly 13.8 total points goes to 30.6.
It's
like
true.
That. No,
it's
you're
true.
Right. It's happened a lot to me, too. But with Seattle, so we both like the Cards here tonight. With Seattle, who has lost 3 out of 4, mm-hmm. like at what point I know every team's different and every yeah. locker room is unique and the DNA of a franchise. So maybe it's not one universal answer, but like at what point when you lose and you lose your mojo for such an extended amount of time, they're undefeated. Like if they lose tonight, it's 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I know.
At what point is it really just hard to recover and get back to where you were?
Yeah, you start to,
especially given their deficiencies.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to think if like, because I know I've had this happen to me a couple of times where our defense was just playing lights out and our offense was sputtering and it was.
I
like
remember some of those.
Right,
days.
You remember these games, these seasons, and like from the outside, you keep a to the outside, you keep a unified front. It's like, mm-hmm. hey, we're all in this together. We just keep working hard, but inside, it's like it's starting to combat. Like it's starting to get like ugly. Like what the heck are you guys doing on that side of the ball? And I don't think it's going to get to that point. With the Seahawks this season, but I mean, it may, you think about, and the reason I think it won't is because there's too many like reasoned offensive players, right? Like Russell and Greg Olsen and even DK Metcalf, who's young, but in Carlos Hyde, and they're young at the running back position. Like there's too many like reasoned, you know, not loud, bombastic, cause trouble type players on the offensive side of the ball, which is holding up its end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the roles were switched, right, and the offense wasn't holding up, could you see Jamal Adams,
yep.
you know, saying, you know, some things like that, or Bobby Wagner or somebody mm-hmm. like that? Like you could see it if it was the other way around, the defense getting on the offense publicly, because that's what the Seattle defense has always been about, right? It's you go back to the years when they were consistently in the postseason and winning Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl and played another one. Like they told you about them, each other, right? They I mean, it was that was one of their you know, calling cards was that if you messed up, like you weren't getting away with it by waiting until the meeting. You were getting called out on the sideline. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so I think it's not going to be an issue. But if their defense can't hold up their end of the bargain, I worry that it's going to be some, I don't know, infighting. That's when leadership's really going to matter. It's
are
when
they
Pete Carroll's going to really going to matter.
I'm sorry, Teak. Are they the worst 6-win team in the NFL?
Given how
bad their defense is.
Yeah, but they are the last ranked defense in the National Football League. Think about that. How is that? It's actually crazy that it's possible that they've won this many games, but it tells you how amazing Russell Wilson has been all season long. And, you know, he's got 28 touchdowns already. 28 touchdowns on the scene. We're halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. And so a game over halfway through the season. He's got 28 touchdowns. He's on he's on pace for like 56 touchdowns, 55 touchdowns or something like that. So, I mean, are they the worst 6-win team? Statistically, yeah. But can they still find ways to win games? I think so. The way they're going to have to do it, though, And this is hard because Chris Carson is hurt. They're stud running back. They've DJ Dallas from Miami. He's been getting some burn. Carlos Hyde has been, you know, getting some burn as well. They can't shorten games with their run game right now. And so it's all been on Russ. And it's why we've seen so many mistakes, because all they're doing is throwing the football. And when you throw the football as much as they have, sometimes you have turnovers, and it ends up hurting you.
Looking at these standings here, like where does the – I just don't know how they elevate. Watch, they'll win tonight, and this will be completely ridiculous.
Yeah, they'll win by three touchdowns.
Right? And that's the thing with Russell. You just, you know, Mr. Unlimited. You never rule anything out. I mean,
no,
if he goes for four
right.
touchdowns tonight, and he'll take this matchup with Kyler personally.
Of course he will.
You know,
just like
he
did in the first game.
That's
you know?
Correct.
It was like a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually awesome to watch. And you know, as much as you know, I want to see you know Russ and the Seahawks get right. It was kind of nice watching both these defenses get torched apart by one great young quarterback and one, you know, veteran quarterback. It was actually fun football. I don't want to see like 37 games every weekend, but when it's two quarterbacks you have a lot of respect and faith in,
yeah,
it is kind of cool to watch it.
You also don't want to see Kirk Cousins and Nick Foles hooking up and
Nick
Foles
right.
throwing for 116 yards. I'll take 43 to 40 or 37-34 every day. I have my limits as well, where you know where it becomes such a foregone conclusion. Stopping somebody is not even a remote option. Fourth down,
right.
they're going forward, punting, not even an option.
Yeah,
you know that after a while you become callous to that, and that's not a real fun watch. But when it's the certain players that are delivering that, that's where you can still sit back and be mesmerized as a guy who didn't play, and you know, 99.9% of our audience that didn't play can sit back and say, man, you know, it's one thing to watch, you know, Kirk Cousins, who's a slightly above average quarterback, hang 40 on somebody. Yeah, that's like, okay, is that really the way the league's supposed to be? But when Kyler Murray does it, when Russell Wilson does it, when Josh Allen's on point, when Mahomes does it, when Big Ben does it, when Brady does, when he throws back time and has a vintage game, that's the stuff that, you know, that you cherish from each
right.
week.
So know? I said this yesterday, BT, just to reiterate, that game was, again, it was 37-34, Arizona won in overtime.
The
Seattle Seahawks had 572 yards.
Yikes.
In total offense, 572. They rushed for 200 yards. Russell had 84 of that, by the way.
Okay.
And three scores. Three. I don't know how many rushing touchdowns they had. Doesn't even matter. But the Arizona Cardinals, they had 519 total yards. there was no defense, man.
But for all those yards, don't you think the point total should have been higher?
It should have been like 50 to 50 or 52 to something. I don't know. You're right.
You know? Right. All right.
Kicked a lot of field goals, I think.
Oh, my God. But hopefully we'll get a good one tonight. We're on the record. We'll both take the Cards, who seemingly are ascending, whereas the Seattle Seahawks have kind of flatlined a bit, as we said. But with that quarterback and that coach and that culture,
yep,
certainly no bold declarations here. It could easily be, you know, Seattle by 10, 13 points. We shall see. There's still some championship metal on that team, no doubt. All right, T, coming up, inbounds, out of bounds. So Kansas City, they're only lost to the Raiders, but Kansas City might be getting a big break this weekend. We'll tell you what it is and what we think might happen as a result. Inbounds, out of bounds at their Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Sunday, the NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best going head-to-head. Derrick Henry, boom, boom. And the Titans taking on Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens, with the Steelers looking to avoid the upset against the Jaguars. We've got great respect for him, Coach Tomlin says, despite the 10-point spread. It all starts the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS, and the Steel Dogs chasing that perfect 10-0 mark. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio back. We obviously started with the hoops here at the top of the hour. We're really to start the show, 3 Eastern. We spent the first segment on Clay. We'll actually get back to that and call it the derailment of a dynasty and the long-range repercussions, something we can certainly revisit. What should they do now to try to salvage this season coming up? There are a few moves out there. If they want to do something, they can do something.
But we also might find out, and he's a little bit old now, at 32, if Steph Curry can be the guy to just handle it himself.
What do you
I
mean?
Doubt
elevate.
Like,
we'll have that conversation.
Like, get super MVP. Forget the MVP. Like, you become a super MVP.
Oh, we're getting to that. And, man, I hope that you believe that he could, because that would make for a better debate. We'll get to that coming up. Right now, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Ready to go?
Yep, let's go.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so the Raiders are the only team this year to beat the Chiefs, and the top two AFC West rivals face off again on Sunday. However, Vegas may be without a bunch of players, maybe up to seven defensive starters, including Clelin Ferrell.
Wow.
I mean, there's five or six guys out there that might not even play. Obviously, Jonathan Abraham after testing positive for COVID. There's a lot of issues. So some or all of the players could still play Sunday if they have multiple negative tests. But for now, none of them could even practice. To say that it's tenuous would be an understatement.
Yeah.
In or out. The Raiders can still beat the Chiefs without these players.
No, they cannot beat the Chiefs without these players. You got to remember, this is what frustrated the Kansas City Chiefs the first time they played. And we were looking at this game yesterday, BT. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, lost 40-32 to the Raiders. This was in Arrowhead. Yeah,
yes,
it was in Arrowhead. Because, I mean, yeah, they drove the buses around the stadium.
They did the victory lap.
And did a victory lap around the stadium. Mm. But, like, the only way to slow down, confuse, and they really didn't even do it that well, because Pat Mahomes still threw for 340 yards, is you have to get after him. You got to make him feel uncomfortable. They sacked him three times. They had a bunch of pressures on Pat Mahomes, so he was off schedule a little bit. And as a result, they got forced into a throw all the time, you know, because they were behind type of system. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was the man at the time, only had 40 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. So without a defense that can consistently and confidently put pressure on Pat Mahomes, you're in trouble. So, yeah, this is going to be ugly for them. Out of bounds.
I don't know that it's going to be ugly, because I think the Raiders, the way they are set up now offensively, and you know that you like the Chiefs defense better than I do. It's something mm-hmm. you and I have debated for a while now. It's certainly good. I don't think it's anything more than that. And I don't think necessarily that first game, the 40-point outburst, was an anomaly. They dominated time of possession. The Raiders had the ball for 35 minutes. Josh Jacobs, who, by the way, for a good 3 or 4 weeks, right around, remember, he had scored 3 touchdowns in week one. Then he hurt his ankle. And for a little bit, he wasn't fully right. And the Raiders' offense wasn't full throttle. Was it last week that Walter dropped that wide open touchdown? I think it was. That's not going to happen again. You know, you're starting to see some things. I've long chronicled their offensive line. What the Raiders do offensively, and specifically what they did against the Chiefs back in October, that is not, like, they don't need a magic wand to do that again. They had 22 first downs, one more than Kansas City had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to tell me, how would the Raiders win? Well, they'd have to win a shootout. And 40-32 is close to a shootout, but if those players, or even 5 of the 7, don't play, they might have to win 50-47. Are they prepared to do that? Probably not. So I'll say out of bounds, but I would give them more of a chance than you, it sounds. The Raiders are coming, and Raiders are pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you in or are you out?
Now, we obviously lauded the Bucks. This was a few days ago, for their trades that landed Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Hey, got it out today. Milwaukee's going to have to tap the brakes a little bit, though, because Bogdanovic didn't agree to a trade or a new deal with the Bucks, instead opting to become a restricted free agent tomorrow. In or out? The Bucks should up their offer and try to still add Bogdanovic in a sign and trade.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds to that, because they need him. But God, how bad of a look is this, man, that they didn't get the deal done before they actually did the deal? I mean, that's just
weird one.
It's just weird. I know that we're in a pandemic and people aren't communicating the same way, but that's not even true, because you're actually communicating so much better nowadays. Instead of picking up the phone call and picking up a phone and calling somebody, and, you know, there could be some ambiguity, everybody's on Zooms, and, you know, let's FaceTime, let's have face-to-face meetings from afar. So how this happened, I don't know. But yeah, I think they should make this, because it was such a good move for them, and I think important move as they try to retain Giannis.
I agree. I totally agree. I said the other day with Teak, I said that you can make a strong case, especially without Klay Thompson now, that this might be the best starting five in all of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's a threat, you know, and Giannis is a little hot or cold from behind the stripe. Not that he can't hit a few, but he's not a consistent night-to-night threat.
Yeah, but they don't need him to do that every night. So
they don't need him to do that really maybe any night, especially if you have Bogdanovich.
Good point.
You don't have Bogdanovich, especially now with Drew Holiday, who is a significant Bledsoe is horrendous in the playoff. Horrendous.
Yeah.
Good defender. Atrocious the last couple of playoffs.
And he was hurt coming in, and it was just unreliable.
No, Drew Holiday is a year younger. It's very close defensively. He's 2 inches bigger. I love the Holiday pickup. Lopez can hit some shots, obviously. Middleton now goes from that number two to a number three at least a few nights a week, which I think is better serving for him. And, you know, the stat – where's my legal pad that I wanted? That, I have one in front of me, but the other one is signed. I don't know. Maybe the kids took it. Let me see if I can remember the number. There was a stat. Okay. So in this past season, in games, clutch moments, as defined by the NBA, inside of 5 minutes, inside of 5 points either way.
Yeah.
That's how the NBA determines what's a clutch moment. The amount of three-point attempts shot by Bogdanovich during that little five-minute sequence where the game's in the balance, equal that of James Harden. They took 32. They took the same amount of shots, but what's more impressive is that Bogdanovich hit 37.5%, while during that sequence, Harden was 25 or 26%, at least 10 percentage points higher, whether it's 26, whatever, but it's right in that neighborhood. So he has no fear. And that just opens things up in the fourth quarter. When that happens, now you get Giannis hammering to the rim and doing his thing. Make this work. Because Bogdanovich, as much as Drew Holiday might be more of a headliner for this deal, Bogdanovich completes the Bucks. You got to make it happen.
Are you in or are you out?
The Georgia Bulldogs have lost two of their last three. They've fallen out of the top 10 in part because of really horrendous quarterback plays. A walk-on, so I want to be fair to the young man. But Stenson Bennett did not play well. Just three touchdowns, six picks over. It started well, and then it went down swiftly. Six picks over his last three games. Just 46% of his passes that he hit on. I mean, that's ghastly. 159 yards a game. You can't win like that in 1920, let alone 2020.
Yeah.
Now highly touted recruit and USC transfer JT Daniels, remember he ripped up his knee last year, is expected to make his debut and start this weekend against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. So here's the question, Teak. If Georgia somehow sneaks into the SEC title game and wins with Daniels under center, they should make the playoff despite their two losses. The premise being that they're a different team with Daniels, and they would have been better if Daniels was playing.
Yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. I mean, because they had a great first half against Alabama. Remember, I did that game. But in the second half, they got blowtorched, man, and it was ugly. And it wasn't just because their offense was playing bad. Their defense, which was supposed to be, you know, one of the best in the country and at the time one of the best in the SEC, they got run through and thrown over. So I can't co-sign that, so I'm going to say out of bounds. It's just unfortunate that JT Daniels wasn't healthy at the beginning of the season and could have played right away. Because, look, I like Stetson Bennett. At the beginning of the year, I said it many times, he's one of the great stories in college football. The walk-on who went to play at junior college and then came back and got a scholarship and was the fourth quarterback on the depth chart. And then because of circumstances, he ends up starting and winning some big games, including against Auburn. But it's – no, I got to say out of bounds with that one.
This one's an easy out of bounds here. I don't even think it really matters, even if it was so lopsided that it would give you something extra to think about. I don't know that I can motivate myself to make, you know, a real case for this. I mean, now, listen, I get it. In a unique season, you know, if it was COVID-driven, I'd say – okay, that's obviously different, as we had the discussion with Trevor Lawrence. You know, if they would have lost the BC game, which they almost did, if they would have lost the Notre Dame game, which they did, and he's coming back now, and we can't wait to see him play, the overall first overall pick, obviously. But that's a different discussion. There's such a long track record. He's a national champion. He's great. And I'm not saying that Daniels is not good, but what has he really done? It's a leap of faith. You're not packaging... connecting the dots from the past to the current.
You're right.
You're kind of guessing, and that's unfair to guess for a championship. So it will be a good story. It should embolden Georgia fans for next year, but for this year, no, I'm with you out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
I'm with you, Teak. All right, it is official. After nearly a year away from the octagon, Conor McGregor back. He's going to fight Dustin Poirier on January 23rd. We're up to UFC 257. Now, McGregor has fought just twice since 2016. He lost to Khabib back in 2018 before beating Cowboy Cerrone earlier this year. Are we interested in seeing McGregor back in the octagon?
Yeah.
Curious how you answer this.
You know, I'm going to say inbounds of this.
I'm surprised that you said inbounds.
Not that I hate on Conor, but I didn't want to see Conor fight Khabib again.
You don't want to see him get mauled?
Yeah, I just don't think he can beat him. And I'm not worried about Conor being world champion again, right? I like Conor. I like his whiskey a little bit.
You got it behind you.
But I don't – nah, I mean, I'm interested, but not for the same reasons I was when I was – you know, I looked at Conor as like the champion, like the UFC, the face of it. I don't see him as that anymore. Now he's just an interesting story that I'd like to see fight again.
I definitely want to see him fight again. Yeah, I mean, you say he's not the face of UFC. Well, who is? I would submit that he still is the face of UFC.
When was the last time he won convincingly?
Yeah, but when was the last time the UFC was incredibly interesting?
That's a good point.
It's had a little bit of a down, more than, it's been a pronounced downswing.
Right. Well, I mean, look, Cormier retired and, you know, John Jones can't keep himself clean. And it's like the faces that we loved, you know, what's his name? What was the guy who was
talking
really
about Weidman, our buddy Chris Weidman?
No, he's fighting again. Well, Weidman is fighting again, but
he's fighting the guy that he fought back in 2010. Weidman,
who's the black guy we used to, not Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah,
I love Cody.
Cody's white. We've had all of them.
But he's a wrestler basically.
Mighty Mouse?
No, not Mighty Mouse. He's in the Japanese league. I can't remember his name, but he just recently lost. He's a boring fighter, and he may have been a chance. Woodley, yeah.
He
might have been a guy who could have been a face of it, but he lost, and now just. I don't know.
You got to have character. You got to have energy. You got to have unpredictability. You know, we talked about this yesterday with I'm forgetting now. We had a show yesterday. The boxing. Who did we talk to yesterday?
Crawford. Yeah.
We talked to him about that. And his not his beef, but Aram's beef with him, how he doesn't promote. And there's maybe staleness isn't the right self.
Yeah.
Maybe staleness isn't the right way to frame it, but there's an absence of energy. Mm-hmm. And
when you don't self-promote, you mean?
Yeah. And even if it's old and even if it's contrived because he doesn't quite pack the same punch that he used to, he's got other business endeavors. Maybe his heart's only 80%. He's not fighting to become rich. He's already rich.
And that's why I'm like I want to see it because I like Conor a lot, but I'm lukewarm to it because what's his motivation anymore?
Well, I hope that his motivation is to prove that he's still the best.
Yeah.
I hope that's, and you know what?
Can he be the best if Khabib?
I don't know. But I want one more fight to give me the answer that I crave.
Yeah,
the answer is probably no.
Yeah,
I think in the fight game, boy, it's hard to dig down deep when you go from destitute to affluent. And I get it. Why would you want to get your brains beat in when you got $50 million sitting in the bank? I get it. But this is not his last chance because he can fight whenever he wants.
Yeah, of course.
Draw. One of his last chances to prove that he still has it.
Yeah,
and I think that's interesting.
But the problem is he's never going to knock out or beat or submit Nurmagomedov, and that's just going to haunt him forever.
But let me ask you this. So I just mentioned Chris Weidman, right? Remember when Weidman fought at the Garden and he got caught with that flying knee?
Yeah, got the knee. But that's not how he lost to Khabib, though.
No, I know. But Conor can't catch Khabib with one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. So? And then it would make it interesting because we'd have to see it again.
Third fight.
But Khabib is retired.
Listen,
so it's
over. When scratch comes a call and retirement ends.
By the way, did you hear on Jim Rome? Bob Arum got crushed. I'll tell you about it.
All right, we'll pick it up. We'll get to the hoops as well. Clay's injury, third hour coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.